Well, this morning we begin a new teaching series entitled Life's Health-Giving Choices based on the Beatitudes, which are found in the Gospel of Matthew, the 5th chapter, at the very beginning of Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount. And as we get started today, I want to talk for a moment about Chuck E. Cheese's. So anybody ever go to Chuck E. Cheese's before? Well, when our kids were little, we lived in Forest, which is just north of Kenton. We drove from Forest to the Chuck E. Cheese at the time. Maybe it's still there off Sawmill Road in Columbus. Tammy says it's still there. So needless to say, that was the only time I ever went. No offense, maybe you join me, maybe you don't, but I cannot stand Chuck E. Cheese. And while I've tried to have that, experience expunged from my memory banks, there is still one thing I remember, an evil game called Whack-A-Mole. Do you remember that? In Whack-A-Mole, these moles just pop up out of holes, and you take a hammer and you slam it back down. And as soon as you slam one down, another one comes up. Then you slam one down, and then two pop up. Then you go after the two, then three pop up. It goes on and on and on. And the thing about this game, and this is why I consider it to be a very evil game, is that you cannot win this game. No matter how many you slam down, they keep coming back, and pretty soon you get frustrated and you just walk away. Now, this is where I'm going with this. I think the game Whack-A-Mole is kind of like a metaphor for life. Just about the time we've got one problem whacked down, another problem pops up. And when we whack that one down, two more pop up. We whack that one down, and three more pop up. That's life. Pretty inspiring, isn't it? Aren't you glad you came this morning to be reminded of that? But this is also true of persistent sins, temptations, and challenges. Just about the time we think we've got victory over a particular weakness in our life, it pops back up again. Maybe you've noticed that it just keeps popping back up. Now, we can read self-help books, but they'll just teach us how to whack faster. However, if we really do take God's word seriously, if we look at God's word, we'll learn how to end the game with sin and how to unplug it so that those ornery moles finally no longer keep popping back up. So let's take a little survey. We're going to take a little survey. It's time for confession. And I don't want you to really vote on this. Just think about this. Have you ever stayed up late when you know you needed sleep? Have you ever stayed up late, okay, and then slept in church, okay? Have you ever eaten extra calories that you knew you shouldn't have? Have you ever made commitments that you knew you couldn't possibly keep? Have you ever felt you ought to exercise more but didn't? Have you ever known that you should be kind and unselfish, but instead you were unkind and selfish? Have you ever tried to take control of your life, a circumstance, or another person, and discover you can't do it? Well, welcome to the human race. Even the Apostle Paul grappled with these kinds of struggles. Check out Romans 7, verses 15 and 18. Here the Apostle says this. He says, I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate, and I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. Now, keep in mind that when Paul wrote this letter, it was towards the end of his life. Paul is a seasoned Jesus follower and missionary at this point, and as he writes this letter, he does so in the present tense, which means that he's struggling with this at that very time. Paul is saying, in effect, even as a mature follower of Jesus, I'm struggling right now as I write this letter. So let's take a little inventory. So I'm going to share a list of struggles, and as I share these, let's make a mental list of how many of these things keep popping up in our lives. Here we go. Stress, fears, overwork, addictions, regret, diet, worry, bad habits, anger, dishonesty, the need to control, finances, relationships, perfectionism, resentment, compulsive thoughts. We could go on and on. Any of those struggles keep popping up in our lives. Well, if so, then we're in the right church, okay? We're in the right church. Our church is a hospital for sinners and not a museum for saints. So if you're perfect, please go find another church, okay? So what's the cause of all these problems? Well, every problem in our life has the same root cause, playing God. When we act like we're God, then we're going to make our own choices instead of doing what God tells us, informs us, commands us to do. And the result is going to be a life full of challenges and problems. You see, the oldest temptation is the temptation to play God. It goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden when Adam is tempted to eat the only fruit that God says he's not allowed to eat. Satan comes and says, if you eat this, you'll be a god. If you eat this, you'll be a god. The fact is, Satan never tempts us to be like him. He never says, if we eat this apple, we're going to be like him. Nobody wants to be like the devil. Satan says, eat this and you'll be your own God. And there's a whole philosophy built around this today called the New Age movement. This movement says that you're a God, that you're divine. God is you and you are God. However, the fact is, we are not a God. The New Age movement is just the oldest lie ever told. We're not a God. If we were God, we could solve all our problems, but we are not God, and we will never, ever be God. So this is the oldest temptation, and it's caused by our pride. Ezekiel points this out when he says in Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 1 and 2, he says this. Then this message came to me from the Lord. Son of man, give the prince of Tyre this message from the sovereign Lord. In your great pride, you claim, I am a god. I sit on a divine throne in the heart of the sea. But you are only a man and not a god, though you boast that you are a god. So when do we think we're as wise as God? Well, when God tells us to do something, and we just don't do it. For example, when we say to ourselves, I know God says not to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. I know what will make me happy more than God does. I know God says no. I know God says sex outside of marriage is not a good idea, but I'm going to do what I want to do. I know God says return a tithe to the storehouse, the church, but I'm going to do what I want to do. I know God says, but I'm going to call the shots for my life. You see, every time God tells us to do something and we don't do it, we're playing God. We're saying that we know what will make us happy more than the mighty God we know does. So pride, playing God, is the source of every one of our problems. It's the root. The Bible says in Proverbs 29, verse 23, pride will ruin people, but those who are humble will be honored. Now then, if pride is the source of our problems, then what's the cure? Well, the cure is actually what we're going to talk about for the next 6 weeks. Over the next 6 weeks, we're going to take a look at six of Jesus' Beatitudes found in Matthew chapter 5. Six choices, six habits that will enable us to experience God's blessing in our lives. And so in the Beatitude, Jesus teaches us how to have a blessed life. And the word bless or blessing in the Greek simply means happy, happiness. So in this context, Jesus is saying that he's going to show us how to be supremely happy. So grab a Bible or your smartphone and follow along as together we take a look at the first beatitude of Matthew chapter 5, the first health-giving choice for getting rid of our habits, our hurts, and hang-ups that mess up our lives. But first, let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Okay, so let's get started. Now, check out Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. It says, "Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down." He's beginning the Sermon on the Mount. "His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.'" So Jesus starts things off. This is the first thing, the very first thing, by saying, "How supremely happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now, when Jesus uses the phrase poor in spirit, it's important to note that Jesus is not talking about physical poverty. He's talking about spiritual poverty, recognizing our sinfulness, our helplessness, our hopelessness. I love the God's Word translation of this verse. It says, "Blessed are those who recognize that they are spiritually helpless." And that is what Jesus is talking about, the importance of acknowledging that we are spiritually helpless. Now, in the Celebrate Recovery 12-step program, the first step to recovery perfectly describes what it means to be poor in spirit. It says, "We admitted we were powerless over our addictions and compulsive behaviors, that our lives had become unmanageable." In other words, it means we admit, we acknowledge, we confess that we need help, that we're powerless to control our tendency to do the wrong thing, and that our lives are out of control. They're uncontrollable. That's what it means to be poor in spirit. So Jesus says that if we develop that attitude, if we embrace that health-giving choice, if we admit that we're powerless, that we need help, that we can't control and manage everything in our lives and therefore need God's help, the result will be then supreme happiness. So Jesus' first lesson, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And today we're going to look at how to develop that attitude, that health-giving choice. So to be poor in spirit, we must embrace the reality choice. We must humbly admit we need help. That's the first step, the reality choice. We must admit that we don't have the answers, that we need help, that we can't make it in this world on our own. We've got to get real and face the truth about ourselves. We must stop living in denial. That's why we call this the reality choice. In John 8, verse 32, Jesus said, "The truth will set you free." So we have to face the truth about ourselves. But the truth about the truth is this: we don't like the truth. We can't handle the truth. We don't like the truth about us. Now, we like the truth about others, but hate the truth about ourselves. As human beings, we would rather avoid the truth and just go through life faking it. We'd rather live phony lives. It feels a whole lot safer not handling the truth about ourselves, because while the truth does set us free, it first makes us miserable when we realize what needs changed in our lives. So we must humbly admit that we need help. That's being honest. The good news is our habits, our hang-ups can be healed. The bad news is that it takes humility. We've got to humble ourselves and swallow our pride. James says this in James 4, verse 6. He says, God goes against the willful proud. God gives grace to the willing humble. In her book, The Jesus Prayer, Frederica Matthews Green wrote, ego builds a cardboard fortress that humility must every day tear down. Ego builds a cardboard fortress that humility must every day tear down. So yes, ego or pride builds a cardboard fortress that humility alone can destroy by God's grace. And remember, grace is the power to change. And over the next 6 weeks, we're going to see some radical changes in our lives if we do what Jesus invites, tells, commands us to do. But it's not going to happen by willpower. Willpower doesn't work. How many diets have we started? How many exercise programs have we begun? Willpower does not work because we get tired. What we need is the grace of God. Grace is the power we need to change. So again, as Jesus reminds us, if we want God's power to change, we've got to be humble. Now then, what does that mean? Well, let's get real specific. There are some facts that we need to admit about ourselves. These are things that we need to admit if God's going to bless and make our lives supremely happy. There are three things. Here's the first thing we need to admit. We are broken. We are broken. The fact is, we live in a broken and fallen world where nothing works perfectly. I mean, the weather doesn't work perfectly. The economy doesn't work perfectly. Our relationships do not work perfectly. Our marriages don't work perfectly. Everything is broken. Have you noticed that our bodies don't work perfectly? Even our DNA is broken. God never intended for there to be physical, emotional, or mental deformities in our world, but we live in a broken world. Everything is broken. We can't expect two broken people to get married and have a perfect marriage. It is not going to happen. It's going to be broken too, because we can only work with what we have. Read this. Meanwhile, creation is confused. Creation is frustrated. It's groaning. It's confused. Everybody is confused. Know what we're supposed to be and do. We have confused attitudes, attractions, and addictions. We're confused about everything in life. In our society today, we have people trying to be other people. We've got older people trying to be younger people. We've got younger people trying to be older people. We have women trying to be men trying to be women. We've got races trying to be different races. Our identities are even confused because we live in a broken, cracked world. We've been broken by nature and broken by nurture. We've been broken by sins we've committed and sins done to us. We've been broken by choices and broken by circumstances. So it really doesn't matter, but the fact is, we're all in the same boat. Nobody's perfect. We're all broken, and it takes humility to admit that. Here's the second thing. We need to admit that our secrets make us sick. Secrets make us sick. Check out Psalm 32. Here David proclaims, beginning with verse 3. When I refused to confess my sin, says David, my body wasted away and I groaned all day long. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. Finally, I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt. And you forgave me, and my guilt is gone. Now, did you catch what David was saying in the psalm? David said that when he held in all his secrets, he got sick. You know, it's not so much what we eat, but what's eating us. If we're tired and frustrated all the time and have all these problems, then guess what? We need to look at what we're holding onto within us on the inside. What are we hiding? Our secrets make us sick. When we get them out, when we're honest, open, and humble, we find ourselves on the road to healthy living. Remember, hiding never works. When we hide a sin, it increases and gets worse in our lives, not better. When we say, I don't want anybody to know this, it becomes a compulsion, and we've got to do it again, again, and again. The more we hide it, the more it increases. When we hide a fear, it intensifies and gets worse and worse and worse. When we hide a hurt, a memory, it imprints it on our minds and gets stronger and stronger and stronger. Hiding a hurt, a sin, a fear never works. It only intensifies. It only intensifies in our lives. So let's stop for a minute. I want us to ask ourselves a very important question. And here it is. What am I pretending isn't a problem? What am I pretending right now is not a problem? Where are we trying to fake it till we make it, but it breaks us? What are we pretending isn't a problem? And here's another thing we need to be honest about. We must admit it to defeat it. We can't work on the sins in our lives until we admit the sins in our lives. We can't work on the hang-ups until we admit the hang-ups. We can't work on the fears until we admit the fears. We must admit it to defeat it. Proverbs 28:13 says this. It says, you will never succeed in life if you try to hide your sins. Friends, this is a powerful proverb. We're reminded here that we will never be a success in life if we try to hide our hang-ups, sins, and fears. God says that. We're going to be fighting against God if we try. Now check out the last part of that proverb. It says, confess them and give them up, then God will show mercy to you. We can't defeat it until we admit it. The fact is, we waste an enormous amount of energy hiding our truths, faults, and hang-ups. All that energy we use to pretend that we're somebody we're not and to hide our weaknesses and faults from other people just drains our lives and makes us sick and tired. If we didn't have anything to hide, if we were open and authentic, then we'd have a whole lot more energy and health for the good stuff in our lives. But we're broken. Our secrets keep us sick. We can't defeat it until we admit it. So to be poor in spirit, we must embrace the reality choice. We must humbly admit that, yes, we need help. We need to admit we're broken, that secrets make us sick, And before we can defeat it, we have to admit it. Some of us might remember a popular book that came out back in the 70s. It was called I'm Okay, You're Okay. Now, there's a word for that, okay? Now, this is a very theological term. It's a term, a theological term you get when you cross a crocodile with baloney. It's called a croc of baloney, okay? The fact is, I'm not okay, and you're not okay, but that's okay because God will make us okay. Now, what's not okay is our refusal to admit that we're not okay, that we need each other and we need God's grace. You see, the point here is this. Nobody's more broken than you and me. Nobody's more broken than us, and we're not any more broken than anybody else. We are all in the same boat. We're all as broken as everybody else. And remember, the whack-a-mole game really is a kind of a metaphor for life. Just about the time we've got one problem or a hang up, whack down, another one pops up. That's life. That's how it is. And we need help. So the reality choice affirms that the first thing we must do if we're going to be poor in spirit is humbly admit we don't have it all together. We need to humbly admit that we need God's help in our lives. And as we close today, I want to invite us all to make our pew, our chair, an altar of prayer. But before I pray for us today, let's ask ourselves this. What's unhealthy or out of balance in my life? What's unhealthy or out of balance in my life? What needs changing? Now, over the next 6 weeks, we're going to explore 6 steps towards getting healthy. But today, would we be willing to take this important first step? It probably is the hardest one. It means being honest and facing up to an issue that we've been afraid to face, maybe for a long, long, long time. So will you bow your heads right now as I pray for us today? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, because not one of us is perfect, we all have areas in our lives that are unhealthy and out of balance. Some of these areas, Lord, are so painful that we can hardly even stand to think about them. I know, Lord, there are people here today who have struggled with shame and guilt and secrets and depression and low self-esteem. I know, Lord, there are people here struggling with a habit, a secret sin, a hurt, or the fear of being out of control. Lord, give us the courage to get real, to take the first step towards health and help right now. And now I invite us all to pray silently in our hearts this prayer. Dear God, today I want to take the first step to getting healthy. I want to get real. I realize that I am not God, but I have often acted like I was. I've tried to control things, always do things my way. Sorry. I've done things that you told me not to do, and I've not done things you told me to do. I'm not going to run anymore, Father. Today, I want to be poor in spirit. So I humbly admit that I need your help. I don't want to hide my hurts or sins or hang-ups anymore. I know that I'm helpless to control my tendency to do the wrong things that are unhealthy for me. So, Father, I ask you to take the pieces of my unmanageable life and begin the process. I'm asking, Lord, for help. I don't want to just be forgiven. I want to be healed. I want to get this behind me so that the rest of my life can be the best of my life. I know the next 6 weeks will be difficult as I seek to make healthy choices over my life. So by your grace, by your Spirit's power, help me to stick with this and change me for Christ's sake. I pray this in Jesus' name.